Well, good morning, everyone. Father, we are so thankful to be able to come to you, to have access to come directly to your throne. Lord, we are grateful today. We thank you for this nation. Lord, we thank you for all of the blessings that you poured out on this land, particularly this last year. And Lord, with the Straits of Hormuz apparently open, or at least partially open, and a ceasefire in Lebanon, I think the first time in I don't know how many years. We have much to be thankful for, Lord. It is just a blessing from you, and we do pray for your blessings on our president and other leaders, Lord, that they would be led by you and by your Spirit. And Lord, we want to go back now another couple thousand years, as we have been these last few weeks, and just sense what you have done for us on the cross. And even after the cross, Lord, Lord, you know, 3 weeks ago, we were looking forward to the Sunday after our prayer meeting, to the triumphal entry, and then the Passion Week. And then 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, we were looking forward to Resurrection Day, which was tomorrow. Last week, we looked at the Ascension, 40 days after the resurrection, and today we want to look at that gathering. During that 10-day period between the resurrection and Pentecost, and Lord willing, if you're so allow, next week we'll get into Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. But today we want to look at the prayer meeting, and for a little group praying together, this is fitting to look at a prayer meeting that's in the Bible. So guide us and direct us now by your Spirit as we look at your word for a few moments, and then as we go to prayer. May you be honored and glorified in these moments together. I thank you for bringing everyone here, and even a couple new that haven't been here for a while, or just good to whoever you have yet to come. Lord, we just thank you for each one. And those who can't be here, we pray for them as well, that we can be together in spirit, even if not physically. So lead us now by your Spirit, that we would be in one accord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have kind of an interesting parallel here between the Gospel of Luke and between the book of Acts, both by the Holy Spirit, but both penned by the same man. So it's Luke writing. And as we ended the Gospel of Luke, where we were last week, he led them up out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So that was the ascension that we covered last week. And then we read in verse 52, "And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." Now, that's where we're going to pick it up today in the book of Acts. But we got one more verse in the book of Luke yet, which ends, and it says, "And were continually in the temple." Now, in the book of Acts, we don't see anything about the temple, but it doesn't say where they were. They were in an upper room, but it doesn't say where the upper room was. But here it says, "We were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." That's where we leave the scene, or in the Gospel of Luke. That's the end of Luke. So now continuing on in the book of Acts, well, let's just read verse 9. Jesus ascends to heaven. We'll read the ascension again so you get the continuity here. "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" And so now the text today that we want to kind of focus on are these next three verses. "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And here's kind of the key verse for us. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So we have an interesting little interlude here. They're told to go and pray and wait for the Holy Spirit. They're not told how long to pray or when it would be. Now we know, looking backward, it was 10 days. But obviously they didn't have the New Testament at that point. They did celebrate the Feast of Shavuot each year on Pentecost. That was the celebration when the law was Moses was given to them in their first year into the wilderness march. And so that was a feast day. So they would know the feast day is coming, but that is not necessarily tied in to the Holy Spirit coming in the old Jewish mind. In fact, they even were rejecting Jesus, period. So they weren't necessarily right where we are with all the, you know, we have 2,000 years of history to look back to, and Jesus came and he rose again from the dead and he ascended into heaven, and we've been living with the Holy Spirit ever since we've come to the Lord. So, and our sins are forgiven and we have assurance of eternal life because what he's done, we have so much that they never had. But we do see them praying, and we see an interesting tie here. They're praying the promise of God, praying the promise of Jesus. Now, you might think, well, if it's promised, why do we need to pray at all? God's going to do his purposes, isn't he? Why should we pray? Well, we should pray because we want to bless him. We want to praise him. We want to be in accordance with what he's going to do. And guess what? Since he is risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, he personally is no longer around here. And he's given us the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit you can't see. The Holy Spirit you can only listen to and be led by and empowered by, but you can't see him. So who does the world have here today that they can look to, touch, and hear from that represent Jesus? It's us. It's us. So his purposes are going to be complete. He's going to return. His second coming is coming. You know that absolutely. Every promise in the Bible must come true. So he's coming back. But when he comes back, that's going to be the end of the church age. In fact, before he comes back, 7 years before he comes back, he's going to rapture the church out, and that will end the church age. After that, there will be people who will come to him, but it's going to be a hard road. Those who have to go through the Great Tribulation will be suffering and deception and things like it'll make this period of time look so good. So he's coming back, and we need now to get the word out, right? We don't have much time because we expect him to come back soon, right? So for every one time I hear that I hope we use the time until he comes back, I hear people saying 10 times, I can't wait till he comes. Well, I can understand that, but that's not why we're here. We're here to do something with the time until he comes, right? And we've got the Holy Spirit in us. We got the Word of God. We got the good news, which is the gospel, right? Jesus came, born into this earth as a man. He suffered and died on the cross. He was buried. Gospel, according to the scriptures, the third day he rose again from the dead, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And then we know in another 40 days he will ascend to heaven. And then in 10 days, the Feast of Pentecost will come and we will have the Holy Spirit poured out on every believer. So that is such a blessing for us that we all have the Holy Spirit poured out on us. So this is where we are now in this little 10-day period. And it says they all continued. Now, this word continued has a steadfast aspect to it. It's a word that you find in the scripture a number of times, but it means you're really serious about it. You're really committed to it. You're all in. So they were all in, and they were continuing steadfastly. And what was it they were doing? They were persevering in prayer. They were also in what? One accord. So only one of them would be praying at a time, I believe, but they all were in accord, praying together in the Spirit. They were with them, and that's the way we want to be in our prayer meetings as well. We want to be led by the Spirit, and so we can all be in agreement. And yet, we will be led by the Spirit individually to put on our hearts to pray as He would have us to pray. So that's where we are as well. So they were in one accord, in prayer and supplication. Now, why would we have another word? Isn't prayer include supplication? Well, prayer actually includes a lot of things, really. It includes worship. It includes listening. It includes praying for specific things. It includes praying for general things. It includes praying for spiritual things. It includes praying for the lost. It includes praying for, and for us, for example, right now, we have much to pray for her nation, our nation, right? We've got a midterm election coming up. And if you think of what God has done in the last year for this country, it's amazing. But at the same time, we got a war going on in Congress. And every time I think of Alaska, I think of Lisa Murkowski, which I don't care for. But I pray for her. And we want to pray for, you know, we've got almost exactly half of the Congress hating Israel. Many of them hate the United States. Most of them, of that half, do not love the Lord. In fact, they're an enemy to the Lord, right? So we've got this, you know, we've got whatever, what seems to be good for the country, they're against, right? And we can't pass anything. We've got all stopped up now through this shutdown with all of this foolishness, and they are not yielding. And so keep Mike Johnson and John Toon in prayer, because they have like an impossible job. But we got the Lord, right? And you'll see how many things have passed in this year so far by the Lord. We never had the votes to get it done, but the Lord got it done, usually by one vote, you know, quite a number of things. So we need to pray for our nation in that. We need to pray, you know, we got two very fragile ceasefires right now. And, you know, with Iran, as I understand it, not that I know much about it, just a little bit I hear and read. We got two groups over there. One group is a politically oriented group. They want this all to end, because do you know how much it costs Iran for every day that the strait is closed? $130 million. Now, $130 million for us is bad enough, but we're a big nation. They're not that big. So they're broke already, and $130 million of revenue that stops every day. They say, we got to end this thing. And so some of them are contacting, I think, President Trump and others, and saying, we want to settle, we want to settle, we want to settle, we want to settle. Please, we'll give you anything you want. We just want to settle. You can have all the uranium. One of the things is this, did you know there's so much uranium in that dust from the B-1 or B-2 bunker bombs that happened a few months ago? And they've agreed now, apparently, to give us that dirt. So we're going to have a major excavation. We're going to bring that dirt back to the United States, apparently, and refine it or whatever, get the uranium out of it rather than leaving it there. But all these things going on. And then we got the other group, the Islamic zealots. They want to die. They don't want to survive. They want war to come. So they will never agree to a peace. They may agree to it, but they're never, that's against them. That's like coming in here and saying, okay, all of you, I want you to give up Jesus Christ, or I'm going to burn your house down. And we would say, maybe not this house. But really, I would have anybody's house burned down if it meant I had to give up Jesus Christ, right? So, I mean, that's not something you give. I don't care who you got negotiating against Jesus Christ. We're not going to give up on him, right? Amen. Well, they're looking at their thing as well, and they really believe that the more bloodshed they can bring about will hasten the return of their Mahdi. In other words, for us, we want Jesus to come, but we know it's God's timing. It's not something that we're going to shed blood and that'll bring him. You know, God's going to do it right on time. So that's the situation we're in. Who knows? And we got much of the leadership in Iran is gone. So we got all these former minions running around trying to get control and trying to get their way. But yet the Lord has blessed so much. Think of what all has happened, and it hasn't cost you and me anything. Maybe a little higher prices, maybe a little higher gas prices. Is that a tremendous sacrifice when normally in wars you have all kinds of casualties, right? Think of Korea, think of Vietnam, think of World War II, think of World War I. Thousands and thousands and thousands killed. And what do we have? In this casualties, we're not even at 20 yet, are we, in this, as far as U.S. casualties go? Anyway, we got much to be thankful for and much to pray for. So we want to be in one accord, and we want to be persevering in prayer, and we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we want to pray God's promises rather than thinking, well, this is promised, we don't have to pray for that, let's pray for things that aren't promised. Well, that's, if you're led by that, by the Spirit, pray for that. But let's just go to prayer now, just as we are led, and may we honor him with our prayers and be sensitive to you, Holy Spirit, I pray. Lead us and guide us now, in Jesus' name, thank you. Amen. Father, we thank you for that clear teaching and promise 3,000 years ago that if my people will humble themselves, bowing down, surrendering down, bowing down, praying to you, and turning from our wicked ways 3,000 years ago, in writing in the Word of God, you will heal our land. So, Lord, it obviously is not on you. The problem is us. And we know you can bring about anything you want to bring about. And we know the root cause of all of these things we mentioned this morning is godlessness. Lawlessness is sin. Wickedness is lawlessness. Wickedness is godlessness, and godlessness means godless, no God. So we've turned away from you. And the only answer is to turn back to you. The only answer is to drive out the darkness, is to turn on the light. It's fruitless to try to drive out darkness. You can't do it. So all the wickedness that's around us, Lord, we can't really drive that out. Only you can. Only the light can drive out the darkness. But you've got us as instruments of light. You said you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. And so we have a little group here today, 15 or whatever it is, people. But I pray we would not only be in one accord as we are praying here together in a little group, that as we go our special ways, we would have 15 torches going out there, bringing light into that dark world. And we thank you for the whole church around the world, which is probably much bigger than we think. And that's where the light is going to come from in this present situation until you rapture the church out. And we've already prayed and continue to pray to be doing good, to return good for evil. To let people know that it is you, Lord Jesus, the only one who died that we could live. You gave your life that we could live. And you rose again from the dead as you said you would, victorious over sin and death, and that is the way. So, Lord, we're so thankful that there is one way, that there is a way. And if we had the illustration of cancer, for example, or maybe some other disease like that, that there was a sure cure for cancer, wouldn't everybody want it? And how much more important is eternal life than being healed in this body from cancer? Lord, we've got the solution. You've given it to us, and I just pray that we would be prayerfully coming against the wickedness, the enemies of yours, and that through you shining through us, there would be those turning from being an enemy of yours to being a lover of you. Instead of being a lawless would be lawful. Instead of being wicked would be righteous. And it's so simple, isn't it? It's just a blink of an eye. We can make that heart decision and turn that freedom of choice that we have from being against you to being for you. And everything else is all done. It's all done. It was done 2,000 years ago. It is finished. We just went over those last 7 words on the cross and still echoing in our hearts, really. And it is finished. The redemptive work is done. Paid in full. The debt is paid in full. Eternal life is available for every single human being. So we thank you. Continue to lead us in this time of prayer. Let's close with the sweet hour of prayer, if we may. Father, we thank you for meeting us here. You always meet us wherever we are.
Yes.
And Lord, if just each one of us would let 8 people know today something about you, that would be 120. We would fill up that room in a way. Lord, we do want to humble ourselves. And there are a lot of things we want to say stop doing, but there's a lot of things we need to do that we're not doing. And I thank you for our president and others who do a great many of good things. Because I think they're led by you. I think you're working through them. It's not them, but you're working through them. And so we do pray for Pete Hegseth and the criticism that he gets for standing for you. What a witness. Marco Rubio, a little quieter, but loving you. And I thank you that we've got these men in very high places in the world right now. Praise you for that. So, Lord, may we just honor you this whole day.
Yes.
Turn on the light. Return good for evil.
Yes.
Be praising and blessing you the whole day. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.